God. We thank you for your word, the fact that it's alive, it's a living thing. That's what you tell us in Hebrews 4. And it will not return unto you void. As you said in Isaiah 55. It shall accomplish that which you please. Oh, prosper where you're sending it. And I thank you that your word today is being sown into good ground, that all of us have ears to hear and hearts of understanding. We're receptive, Heavenly Father. We will receive your engrafted word with meekness. We will mix it with faith. And we will bring forth fruit. And that fruit shall remain. Let all who agree with that say,
amen,
amen, amen. Amen. So repeat after me, please. Say, I will worship.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
Those are our four core values here at New Day. And I also want to let you guys know that you can go on the YouTube. I started a Bible study. It's 10 minutes, nuggets each week. I encourage you. Just Google New Day Corona. Pastor Tony, it should pop right up. And just good. I'm walking through the book of Luke, line by line. It's expository teaching. And it'll give you guys a chance to get more of a biblical foundation. Especially you guys that are new, and even you guys that are old, because along the way, as I'm surveying the passages, just sharing some nuggets. I'm really excited, too, about this trip to Israel that we're going to be taking it within, I believe, April 1st, I believe. And even some of the Bible study and just how all this all going to play in it together. Amen? So our 2019 theme is what?
Better.
One more time.
Better.
Better everything across the board. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So start a new series today, and the series title is Forward, forward, forward. Now, let me just give you just what they call a spoiler alert. I'm talking about heaven. Heaven is our real destiny. Amen. On your handout, Philippians 3:13 says this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. This is the New Testament. This is Paul, the great apostle, okay? This is about, I don't know, about 20, 30 years after Jesus had gone to heaven. Paul is writing this. And he's writing to this it's a letter to the church in the city of Philippi. And, of course, the people in Philippi are Philippians. And, again, as you already know, I like to pretend he's writing this letter to the church in Corona, to the Coronians, okay? You guys in Riverside, River City, I don't know, what are you guys? River Cityans, all right, hallelujah. Ontario Knights or Yorba Linda, oh, whatever, wherever you're from, okay? Glory. So chapter 3, verse 13, he says this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing." Say one thing.
One thing.
Forgetting. Say forgetting.
Forgetting.
Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Looking where?
Forward.
Looking where?
Forward.
So he's looking forward. What does he do with the past?
Forget.
You know, like the Italian, is it Italians or who's on the East Coast? Oh, forget about it. You know, it's Italians. Yeah, forget about it. You know. You got to forget the past. Now, here's the unique thing about this. Normally, we take this scripture, kind of use it out of context a little bit, because we look at negative things. I'm forgetting those things that lie behind me. Okay, man, that's cool. That's negative stuff, the trauma and all that. But Paul is actually talking about good stuff. Good stuff. Because, see, that good stuff can shape your future, okay? But it also can limit your future. On your handout, past achievements, success and victories can become a stumbling block to you seeing clearly the purpose and destiny that God has for you. It can. You say, really, Pastor? No. Yeah, that's why Paul said, I got to forget about this stuff. If you read the preceding verses, he's talking about good stuff. And see, what happens is we begin to base our life on what we achieve. We learn to value. We develop a value system based on our, you know, material acquisitions and stuff. You know, we feel we've arrived. In America, we celebrate the self-made man. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps. I think it was, I think Dr. Martin Luther King said, well, what if the brother doesn't have any boots? Okay. But that's how we begin to benchmark. And it's dangerous. And I'm going to show you why. This is a message, and you're going to need to think with me, properly think, okay? I need you to have a mind of Christ this morning, all right? Now, let's go to the Old Testament. There was a New Testament. I want to show you the same principle in the Old Testament, Isaiah 43, verse 15 through 19, okay? Now, Isaiah, Old Testament. And it says this in verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. Okay, God's identifying himself. Got it? Verse 16. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters. Now, a moment ago, Pastor Todd was singing a song, okay? Best of times, worst of times, okay? And it's so funny because, you know, with Brian being in the hospital and everything going on, I didn't look at today's schedule till this morning. okay? And I saw this song, and I'm like, what song is this? And I looked at the lyrics first, and I'm like, I need to call this brother. I don't think that fits, but then I listened to it. Oh, my God, it ministered to me. Because right now in my life, I have the best of time, the worst of time. And so what we do often, watch, just stay with me, please, please pay attention to this. Verse 16, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. Okay? Right? Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. You guys remember that, right? Okay, verse 17. I call forth the mighty army of Egypt. I call them forth, okay? Remember, they were going through the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They got stuck between Egyptians who were chasing them and the Red Sea. And God opened up the Red Sea and they went across. Verse 17. I call forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. You ever have a candle and you dip your hand in some water and just extinguish it like that? That's what happened. They were snuffed out like that. That was amazing because they were in such a dire, it was crazy. It was like their backs was against the wall. Don't you guys sing them backs? What is it, backs against them? What's that song you sing? You lead it. You made a way. Thank you. Amen. Back was against the wall. Thank you. Okay. All right. And you know, then because that's one of the songs that everybody get excited because you remember how God brought you out of something. It was so tough and all of that. Verse 18 says, but forget all that. Like, God, what's up? What's up? What do you mean forget all that? But wait, this is why. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Because see, we get stuck on it. And God's like, I'm about to break you off something. I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. That ain't nothing. Nothing. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. You ain't seen nothing yet. N-U-T-H-I-N. Nothing. Verse 19. Watch this. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. And I love this. It says, do you not see it? And the reason we don't see it, because we hung up on the old stuff. The old good stuff. I ain't talking about all the trauma. I'm talking about just the good stuff. How can we possibly miss the new thing? See, the thing about the past, it's supposed to be visited, not lived in. And some of us, we're scared to move forward. We're so scared. Fear have torment. You're going to have to step out of that. So let's bring this forward, okay? Okay, I just wanted to set up the Old Testament, New Testament context. Turn to Matthew 16 and let's do this, okay? Because Jesus, turn your hand out over, please. Jesus was forward focused. Let me show you this here. Matthew 16, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, and soon coming King, glory to God, was forward focused. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to pick this up. We're going to read verses 13 through 27. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I ministered at Zoe, Zoe Association event. And I was about to, anyway, so a lady comes up to me afterwards. Wow, you were good, but you talk so fast. Okay, I'm going to slow down. Verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and that's Caesarea when we go to Israel. As they say, it's a hard case town. I'm thinking everything will shift when we get there, okay? All right? Brother John, we're going to have a good time, right, Lourdes? We're going to have a great time. Hallelujah. Okay. The region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, watch this, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do they say? What's the word on the street? What's everybody talking about? What's the buzz? What's TMZ saying? Verse 14. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Now, people are going to compare you, and they think based on their past experience, which is very limited. That's our problem. We're very limited, and I don't think we really realize that. And again, if we have a level of success, we feel good about our past, and therefore, we're often going to miss what God really wants to do. Let it settle in, okay? Verse 15. Then he asked him, but who do you say that I am? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yes. Meaning you're the Christ, the Messiah. You're the one that has come into this world to save us. Peter got it. Yes. Or did he? Let's go to verse 17. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John. Because, here we go, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. I need you to stop for a moment. I want to walk you really through this. He got this from God. God dropped some knowledge on him. Okay? Now, look, let's see what Jesus says. Verse 18. Now, I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Let me walk you through that again. Now, I say to you that you are Peter. Move from Simon. In Aramaic and in Hebrew, the word Simon, it means shifty, not solid. Peter means rock. Okay, so you're on your way from that shiftiness. You're on your way to being a rock, okay? Now, here's the thing. And upon this rock, that's not Peter. A lot of people say he built upon Peter. No, it's not. The rock that he built it upon is the principle that he's the Messiah. That's the rock. In fact, rock in Greek, and both of these are two different words. One is like a small rock, like a stone. Another is like a boulder. And when Jesus said, upon this boulder, upon this revelation that you've gotten from God, I'm going to build my church. Now, church is this. Church is a Greek word, ecclesia, means the called out ones. It's like you go to Washington, D.C., we have our senators. Two have been called from every state. They've been called out of their states here to Washington, D.C. Same thing with the congressmen and congresspeople, okay, got it? They're called out. We have been called out of the world. You've been called out. Some of y'all are dragging, okay, but you need to come on out. Come on out. So now, this is what he tells Peter. Upon this principle that I am Jesus the Messiah, the Savior of the world, I'm going to build my church. That's our principle. That's why when I go down the street and like I get together with all the Corona pastors, we all got a little variation. But if you want to be a part of our group, you just need to believe this principle here. Now, we got some that don't. So you can't come. You say, we're a church. No, you're not. You're not this church. Make sense? Are we clear? Okay. Here we go. Now, verse 19. Jesus still speaking. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Look at this, okay? On earth, in heaven. On versus in. We live on earth, but I'm going to be in heaven. So I tell everybody, stop looking at this dimension that we live in as the final dimension, like it's all that. Okay, Matthew, I think it's 6, Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art, which what? Art where?
In heaven.
On heaven?
In heaven.
Oh, in heaven. Oh, in heaven. Hallowed be thy
name.
On earth, in heaven.
Yes. Yes.
So where I'm going is different from where I am.
Yes.
I'm on earth, but I'm going to be in heaven.
Yes.
Heaven is nothing like this.
Yes.
So I'm not selling. You know, in my house, you know, one of the bedrooms used to be Lavelle's. Okay. Right? My office? No, that was your room, right? No, that was Brian's room. Yeah, it was Brian's room because you took the big one. Right, okay, yeah. I'm oldest. I'm taking the big room. Okay. So... but in there, a few weeks ago, I got recognized by the city of Corona and for the Planning and Housing Commissioner, and then I got a recognition from somebody, some Congress rep, somebody in D.C. gave me something. Oh, that's sad. I don't even know, but whatever. So, and I got it. Then I hung up, but they're just on one of the files. And so, you know, I can put those up and put up your stuff and all, and that's cool. You know, we get recognized, and we got, oh, you're doing this, and hallelujah. And today, somebody going to win the Super Bowl. Okay, hallelujah. Preferably Rams, but anyway. I said I was going to resist. Patriots fans like, boo. Okay. It's just a game. But they're going to get a trophy. You know, and everybody's going to be excited. They're going to be kissing the trophy. So gross, all them kissing. Whatever. But they're going to be kissing the trophy. And then we can get stuck there. And that's fine, you know, and I'm glad they're winning. I'm happy for the guys. You guys know I love football. It's an exciting time, and this is wonderful. But this is on earth. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's the difference? And really, I'm going to get into this next week. But, okay, next week. On earth versus in heaven, okay? 20. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was a Messiah. He said, well, Pastor, why? Because one of the things is people try to jack you up. And you sometimes you can't, you know, they don't get it. They don't get it. One of the reasons, I sent a letter, most of you guys got it. We did an email. Me and Elder Joyce and others, we've learned, y'all don't read emails. But we sent them, and I just had to communicate to you all that was going on with the family this week. And I needed to clear, because then what happens, you tell one person, and by the time you get to the fifth person, it's a whole different story. So this is what's happening straight from the horse's mouth. And Jesus. So what happens is this. Most pastors pull themselves away, and it's because of the good intentions of the people. But sometimes the good intentions, you'd be jacking up when you're helping. And I know people don't, but that's why we wanted to send and communicate as opposed to, and it's not necessarily a privacy thing. I've got a limited amount of capacity. I need to take off my pastor cap and put on my dad cap and put on my husband cap. My wife's son heart stopped. Praise God, you know, he came through it, and we're all sitting up doing good. Everybody's like, yay, and we're happy and feeling good. And on Friday night, you know, he's sitting on the side of the bed, and we go home, and we get a call. He coded again. So we ran back up there. He's up now. Jackie's with him. Hallelujah. But what happens, even in all of that, do you know how many suggestions I've gotten? And everybody wanted to tell me, go check this website. And I heard this and my cousin. And after a while, it's just I don't have the capacity. Now, people mean well, but that's why we have to stay forward focused. And sometimes people, anyway, this ain't what the mess is supposed to be about. But you get back here. And the thing about Jesus, you know, he ran across the Samaritans, a group of people, and they wanted him to stay. But he's like, I got to get to Jerusalem. And sometimes people want you just to be with them. Verse 21, watch this. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary, say necessary, necessary, for him to go to Jerusalem. He had a destiny. He had a purpose. And that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. Sometimes it's those that are supposed to be doing right will do you so wrong. Right. The ones you're supposed to be able to count on, and they just jack you up. But I'll keep reading. He says here, he would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Now, if all of a sudden Jesus said to me, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be raised from the dead, that would probably caught my attention. I would like to think so. Like, whoa, you going to come back to life? Dude, that water walking was one thing, but you coming back to life? But Peter had a different experience. Check out verse 22. But Peter took him aside, grabbed him, and began to reprimand him. And if you read this in Greek, it says he strongly rebuked Jesus. You're going to tell God how it should be. Now, most of you are not like that, but there's a few of you. That's why I always speak to you guys with that D personality. Dominant, dictatorial, think you know it always. Always just going to move people and adjust them and do things. You got your way. Bless you. Say, Pastor, why are you dissing us? I'm one of you. I ain't dissing you. It's hard. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Why? Peter's all about Peter. Let me show you, but let me read this verse. Verse 23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. Now, you go from just one moment, the Spirit of God revealed that to you. It wasn't flesh and blood. You heard from heaven, my son. Man did not reveal that to you. To the next minute, you straight up hanging with the devil, man. If it could happen to Peter, who was there with Jesus, what does that say about us? What voice are you listening to? People crack me up. This is why you need to get into the word. But God showed me. That's the devil showing you. Because see, it feels like you want it to be. It fits you and how you think it ought to be. I know, God has me. God, and when you can me, that's devil. Because God is all about others. Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things, watch this, merely from a what? Not from God's. Now, he told him earlier, when God reveals something, he's getting something that wasn't, he wasn't having a human, it wasn't from a human perspective. Now it is. And for some of us, we have to look at that. And I wonder, like, what throws us off like that so much? Why do we so easily fall for that? Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, watch this. You want to be my follower? You really want to be my follower? You must turn from your selfish ways. So Peter's thing, it was self-centered. It was all about him. Okay, wait a minute. Think about this for a moment. Hold on. Think about this. Jesus says, I got to go and die. Now, just a little while earlier, you out on your fishing boat, didn't catch jack, nothing, nada. All of a sudden, Jesus tell you to do something, you get a boatload of fish. You got so many fish, you got to call people to come and help you with the fish. Your mother-in-law is laid up sick. Jesus come in, get up, and she gets up. You're seeing all this. You don't want to let that go. What do you mean you're going to die? Wait, yo, homie, you ain't leaving me? And it sounds good. This I forbid this to happen to you. Why? What you so worried about? I'm going to lose. And most of the time, when we're in fear, we're afraid of losing something. Afraid of losing. And if you keep your hand tight like this, God can't put nothing in it. You don't want to open up and let something go. Because God is not going to be enough. You know, we open up New Day Zambia. You know, some of the Zambian pastors, like, he coming to start a church here. You have 553,000 people in your city. If I have 1,000 people come to New Day Zambia, what is that to you? But the scarcity mentality? See, you can tell when I get mad at him and I come down here. Let me get back up here. Get back in an anointing, okay? But he says, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross. What is it that you need to die to? Think about it for a moment. Had somebody just recently told me everything wrong with me. I ain't kidding. Just up and down. I was cool with it. But when that happens, and I think about what Jesus said. He said, you know, how can you say to your brother, let me get the speck out of your eye, when you can't even see the big old beam or the big old log or plank in your own eye? He says, you hypocrite, first, get rid of the log in your own eye. Watch this. Then you can see clearly. Meaning right now, I don't see clearly. He said, first get rid of the log out of your own eye, then you can help your brother get rid of the speck out of his. So what I do when people be hitting me up like that, I'm like, okay, got it, cool. I say, okay, cool. But just tell me. I give them the scripture and I say, now what is your beam? Well. And somebody told me recently, I'm fine, I'm okay. Okay, you okay. But what about the people around you? Well, that ain't my responsibility. It's not, no. I said, the scripture says, bear you one another's burdens. But I can't do that. I need the Lord to strengthen me. Oh, it says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So what's the problem? And these are church people. Been in church and got positions and selfish ways. What do you need to die to? If you really want to be a follower of Christ, it's going to take some death. But we don't want to give up jack. God's trying to get us something to us, but we won't let go of that old stuff. If you get rid of stuff, you know you increase your capacity to receive from God. Better days are ahead, but we still thinking in the past, we develop these beliefs, and we don't move forward. That's why most of our lives look the same from year to year to year to year. We're not forward thinking. Take up your cross and follow me. Not, and I need to learn some more music, people. Not Jay-Z, not whoever else. I just saw some rapper, 6'9", something, he got arrested for 47 years. I ain't never heard of him. But we be like, no, that's what's up. No, it ain't what's up. Heaven is what's up. You own this earth, you're going to miss out on going into heaven messing with some foolishness. Right. 25, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. I'm going to read that to you again. And this is it in Greek, okay? I know I'm heavy on the Greek today, but stay with me. If you give up hanging on to your psyche, Your mind, your will, your emotions, you will lose it. That's what life means there. But if you give up your psyche, your mind, your will, your emotions for my sake, you will save it. That's why people lose their minds. I know people that have been hospitalized for panic attacks and all that kind of related stuff because they have a principle and they're holding some title to it. You're going to look like this. No, no, I'm not letting go. No, no, no. That's what happens. What is a nervous breakdown? What breaks? Your nerves. Where are your nerves? Now, I'm going to open up your brain. Show me where it broke down. It's just in your thinking. And you become so convinced that it has to be this way. And Jesus is saying, give it up, let it go, and I'll hook you up. We're so happy to be on earth. I'm trying to get into heaven. Let me keep reading because I want you to see this, okay? 26. And what benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own psyche again, your own mind, will, emotions? You're going to lose it. Is anything worth more than your mind, your will, emotions? 17. For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. Now, newsflash. When you come to heaven, oh, do it real quick. Brother Dwayne, come here for Elder Abraham, come here for a second. Okay, I need one more man. Who is that? Okay, Brother Kevin, come here for a second. Yeah, and Corey, you too. Can you guys line up right here? Right, just now, shoulder to shoulder, two lines, okay? One behind the other, okay? Okay. And this is going to happen. Okay, I'm Jesus, right? So, Abraham, you and Minister Dwayne walk forth, okay? Okay, you going to hell. You just wait over there for a second. Hell, you hell. Come in for a second. No. You had your chance. I sent people to talk to you. I sent you in church, but no. You wanted to be all about you. You didn't want to listen. Gave you ample opportunities. Boom, 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 boom. Sorry. That way. Enter down to the joy of the Lord, okay? Amen. Torment. Fire. Okay. Now you guys come here, though. Come here. Come here. Okay. You guys come here. Okay. All right. My sons, welcome into heaven. Welcome to heaven. Okay, now, but I'm going to judge you now based on your deeds. And what happens in heaven is based on what you did on earth. Many of us don't think that. That's why I ain't going to act a fool. I don't care what's going on. I ain't sleeping with none of you women out there. It ain't happening. I don't care how fine you are, how long your hair is, how green your eyes are. It don't matter to me. Because I'm going to get on the other side and tell the Lord, well, our eyes were so green, God. I ain't going out like that. Give these guys a hand. Thank you. Amen. You're going to judge everybody according to their deeds. On your handout. Now, here's your takeaway for today. Some people are not going to understand your purpose, okay? The elders, priests, teachers, they did not get Jesus. As smart as they were, they missed it. These guys spent the whole time in the book, in the Old Testament, reading and studying, and they missed him. They didn't even know when the Messiah they were reading about when he showed up. That's because you have him pictured like it has to look like this. Second bullet point, even those that understand may try and hinder you for their own self-centered reasons. I have so many people even come here, and y'all trying so hard to make this church look like your old church, which you left. Somebody told me recently, you know, if you're a pastor, you ought to do this. Where's your church? In fact, where are your friends and family? Nobody even like you. Yeah, and then people know that's why bless them. I'm not gonna let you throw me off now. And then there are sometimes people are very sincere. Now, Pastor, we really need to have a ministry that does this. Okay, that's because that's something you're suffering with. I understand that, but you're the only one in the church with that. I'm not mad at you, but you got to be more realistic. Sometimes people are trying to throw you off your game. The third bullet point, God's way is so much better than your way. But that's why I said you got to stop trying to hold on so tightly like Peter was. No, no, no. Hey, let God be God. And I know some things just shock you. My son, his heart's stopping. He's 31. You don't think that shocked me? And all of a sudden he comes out of it and we're good. And then Friday morning again? You know what yesterday was like for me? And I'm driving. If you guys saw the picture on Facebook, and I shouldn't even say this out loud, but I took that while I was driving. But, you know, I was praying. I looked up, and I saw the sky was just so gray. But then I saw that blue. Fourth bullet point. Thank you. Jesus is coming back. Okay, now here's the kicker. Who have you told? Who's going to be in heaven because of you? Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And I'm going to take my seat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I want you to understand this, okay? Now, we're talking about looking forward in heaven, okay? Stuff can throw us off. Verse 10. 2 Corinthians, writing to the church in Corinth, okay? Actually, his fourth letter to the church in Corinth. We only have two that if we have found that have been discovered, like I've been out there looking for them, huh? No. So there have only been four, but two that we've discovered. But if you read both of them, then you're going to, then you'll see this. And Alpha Team, we're going to actually be walking through 1 Corinthians for the whole year. We're going to look at that church and the problems it had, because that was a problematic church. They had all the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, they were moving in the Spirit, but they were like infants. So that's why the presence of the Spirit, everybody moving and jumping and running and all that. The Lord said, okay, that doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. I'm going to show you that, okay? Now, I'm all for the Lord said. I love that. If you've been here Wednesday night, it was on, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 10, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever, say whatever, we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. I'm looking forward to heaven. Jesus Christ is our Messiah. He brought eternal salvation to us. I'm not going to miss out on getting into heaven by focusing on what's going on earth. Amen? Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, it's a living thing, and it will not return to you void. It shall accomplish that which you